This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. Ocular drug delivery has been a major challenge to pharmacologists and drug delivery scientists due to its unique anatomy and physiology. Many effective drugs already exist, but the major challenge is their delivery. Dr. Tara George is in the studio with me. She's a retinal specialist and she's going to answer your questions on drug delivery to your eye. You can give us a call. Our number is 03-7710-9000. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tara. How are you today?
Hi, Mira. I'm fine, thank you.
Dr. Tara, in all the reading that I was doing, what came across is that our eyes are actually, it's a very complicated part of the anatomy, okay?
Yes.
That is it. How would you describe it? It's got layers and layers of tissue, and hence the reason why people are grappling as to how to enhance or make sure the drug delivery is as effective as it can be for the eye.
Yes. Firstly, the eye, you know, is an eyeball, but there is an front portion, what we call the anterior segment, mm-hmm. and the back of the eye, which is the posterior segment. Now, that is just a broad division. The anterior segment would comprise of the cornea, which is the refracting surface in mm-hmm. the front, and then the tissues in the front of, there's a space in the front of the eye called the anterior chamber, and then you have your iris, which forms the pupil and the lens. That's the anterior segment. And then you could move on to the back of the eye, you have the vitreous cavity and the retina and the optic nerve. Now, that are the areas. Now, each area itself have cells of many layers. Mm-hmm. So for drugs to reach the eye, you have to go not only to the front of the eye, you may have to reach the back of the eye, and you have to go through all these layers and barriers that are present in the eye. Now, they are present there to actually protect the eye, because you don't want things to just leak into your eye or leak out of the blood vessels of the eye other than what's necessary. So the eye has got its own barriers in different types of cells that prevent things from permeating through. So when you deliver a drug into the eye, mm-hmm. we have to make sure that we overcome these barriers without causing any damage to the eye.
Okay, so those are the ocular barriers that seem to be the challenge.
Yes.
That we need to get past. If you look at specific problems, eye problems, which we face,
yes.
for an example, glaucoma,
yes.
which part of the eye would actually be affected by glaucoma?
The aim of treatment in glaucoma, firstly, is to lower the intraocular pressure or the eye pressure. And it does that by working on the front of the eye, mm-hmm. by lowering the secretion of the aqueous humor or the fluid in the eye. Secondly, it can increase the outflow of fluid in the eye. So different drugs work on different pathways. Then you also want to protect the optic nerve, because in glaucoma, the eventual damage is to the optic nerve, mm-hmm. where the optic nerve loses its fibers and you lose your field of vision.
Okay.
So there are also some drugs that have a role in which we call neuroprotection. Okay, so they protect the optic nerve as well as lower the eye pressure. Now, not a single drug can do everything. So that's why we have different types of drugs for different functions.
Okay, so the part of glaucoma come under the anterior or posterior?
Usually it's anterior.
Anterior. So
yes.
Does it necessarily mean that it's in the anterior, it's in the frontal portion, that it is easier for drug delivery?
It's not easier, but 70% of drugs that are available are used to delivered through the anterior segment, mm-hmm. which is either eye drops, ointments, or gels. The reason why it's that way, it's because it's easier to give it in such a manner. You just put in an eye drop or you put in an ointment. It's much easier for the patient.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are limitations in delivering eye drops in this way. Now, if you put a drop into your eye, one eye drop is about 50 microliter.
Okay.
One drop. And the volume that your eye can hold, you know, if you lift down your lower lid, you can actually see there's a space, that's where you put your eye drop
mm-hmm.
in. It can only hold about 30 microliters.
So don't we know, half of it comes off.
That's right.
Rolls
so half,
out.
Half of it comes out.
Yeah.
Now, even out of what goes in, the amount that's absorbed is only about 5%.
Right.
Okay. So that is because of various things that prevent it from being absorbed. As I mentioned, the barriers. Then you have the physiological things, like just the moment something goes into your eye, you start tearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the tears wash away the drug. Then you have a normal tear drainage. You know, you actually have an opening in the side of your eyelid that drains out your tears into your nose. That's called the lacrimal duct. So if anything goes into your eye, half of it is going to drain out into your nose. There's a way to slow down that drainage by just applying your finger and pressing it to the inner angle of your eye, mm-hmm. and that would prevent the drops from draining out fast and increases the contact time of the drug with your eye. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the ways we work to make the drug get absorbed a little bit more. But eye drops do have its limitations.
Of course. And as you said, always, most of the time, used to treat anterior segment diseases. Our phone lines are open and the phone number is 0377109000. We're talking to Dr. Tara George, retinal specialist, on drug delivery to your eyes. I think as we grow older, Dr. Tara, that's when eye problems tend to creep in a more, in a bigger way.
Yes.
And older people tend to struggle a little bit more with drug delivery to
That's
the
right.
eyes in terms of compliance and things like that.
Yes.
We'll come back to that. But besides topical applications, you also have oral administration.
Right.
How effective is that for various eye problems?
Now, if you have a problem in the front of the eye, which we call the anterior segment, mm-hmm. you actually don't need oral medication. And that's something that patients get worried, how come you're just giving them eye drops and no tablets? But if the problem is purely in the front of the eye, even though the eye looks very red, it might be swollen, eye drops are sufficient to treat the front of the eye. However, if the back of the eye is affected, these eye drops don't penetrate till that area. And you give tablets, they go into the bloodstream and through the retinal blood vessels, some of them get into the back of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the absorption is not so good. There are new drugs that are said to be better absorbed into the eye. So we do give tablets as well, especially for infections and autoimmune conditions where we know they work to the back of the eye. Most people, especially older people, things like glaucoma are problems that they get as you get older. Not common, but those are problems that older people get. So those are treated still with eye drops. And for older people, they have made ways like, you know, using longer acting drugs, drugs that can be delivered through simplified devices. You know, it's easy to put it into the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So these are ways that you make it easier to deliver the drugs.
Okay. So that's oral administration. Very rare, unless it's an infection
yes,
and things
rare.
Like that. Inserts, what are they?
Inserts are devices that are placed into the lower eyelid, the space that I mentioned just now,
mm-hmm.
and they release the drug slowly. So again, it's to treat the front of the eye. But instead of putting a drop in, say, 3 or 4 times a day, or even twice a day, this device stays in there for months and slowly releases the drug. Now, the problem with inserts are that it's actually a foreign body sitting in your eye,
mm-hmm.
and it is not secured. You don't stitch it or anything. It just sits snugly in the space that's available there. So the patients do have a foreign body sensation, so especially if a person rubs the eye a lot, it can move around. And sometimes
Ooh.
It can even drop out.
Oh,
it's
that's
like
a scary thought.
Yeah. It's like a contact lens, but the contact lens is in front of your cornea.
Right.
This is in the space at the bottom where your eyelid is.
Under what circumstance would you have an insert?
Very rare. It's used very rarely. It's not commonly used even in Malaysia. We still rely a lot on eye drops.
Surgical implants is something else?
Yes. Surgical implants are for problems in the posterior segment, the back of the eye. They are inserted through a surgical procedure. The patient has to go to the operation theatre and an implant is placed at the back of the eye. Usually it's against the retina in the vitreous cavity.
Mm-hmm.
And these implants deliver drugs slowly. Okay, they release the drug over periods of months. Now, they need to be removed after that. They're not degradable. So you put it in, and once the time period is over for the drug to be released, you have to take it out. So, again, this is not very popular. And
sure.
once you've put it in, if you develop a side effect, it's very difficult to go in and take it out again. So it's not very popular, but it's something that is available.
Okay. And now, when do you use surgical implants?
Surgical implants, the two drugs that can be delivered, one are steroids, okay, but you deliver steroids for a long period of time, you do expect some complications to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're most concerned about is the rise in eye pressure. Developing secondary glaucoma as a side effect of a prolonged steroid delivery in the eye.
Right.
And of course, developing a cataract. Almost 100% of patients who had this steroid implant in previous studies needed cataract surgery.
Oh dear.
But that's something that would happen eventually, but still that's something that we have to tell patients if they opt for this implant.
Okay, so we have options then. I mean, if
yes.
we come to see you, then you'd go through it with us and
yes.
then you decide.
Yes, but this is not something that's commonly done. This
okay.
implant.
Not in Malaysia,
yes.
at least. Well, it probably was before, isn't it, doctor? Before, you know, you found out about the whole cataract developing after a while.
Yeah, it came in the trial. They found that this was so. So I don't think it picked up very much because there are other options, I think, which we'll discuss later.
Okay. We have LTY on the line. Hi, LTY.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mira.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, Doctor. How are you both today?
Very fine. Well. Right. Thank you.
I have a general question. It's regarding my personal question.
Okay.
Sometimes when I'm hungry, my eye tends to go blur. Is there any medicine to take or is it necessary? Thank you very much.
Thank you, LTY. Bye-bye. Okay.
Okay, your eyes are getting blur when you're hungry. Now, that usually is not an eye problem. Now, when we see, our vision is not just from the eye. It's also dependent on our brain. Now, when you get hypoglycemic, when your blood sugar drops, just like people get drowsy, you know, they get sleepy or they're not so alert, you can even have symptoms like your vision getting blur. So, especially for diabetics, I would say it's a sign that your blood sugar is dropping because blood sugar fluctuates a lot in people who take diabetic medications.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, even when your blood sugar is very high, okay, for some people like the undiagnosed diabetics, you can actually get blurring of vision. Now, that is due to something happening in the eye. The cornea actually swells when your blood sugar is high. Now, that's opposite from what LTY is speaking about. That might be just high blood sugar. And the cornea swells and the vision becomes blurred. So if your vision fluctuates in relation to meal times, something to think about is the blood sugar levels.
Right, so go get it checked out.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've digressed. And, you know, till we come back to the whole drug delivery to the eye topic, why do we tear when we yawn, Dr. Tara? I've always wondered. What is the connection?
Why do you tear when you yawn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you find that happening to you as well?
Not really.
Oh. I need to come see you then. Okay. That might not be the best question to ask you at the moment. Okay, I'm coming to see you. We digressed. Our topic for the day is drug delivery to the eyes. Our phone lines are open. The number is 03-77-10-9000. If you'd like to even send us a text message, well, our phone lines are open, 016-201-9000, or you can tweet BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll find out how polymers seem to be used in the whole process of drug delivery to the eyes. What are some of the challenges that, you know, Dr. Tara faces when it comes to drug delivery and patient compliance, especially when you're older? That's all coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi, Dr. Tara George, retinal specialist with me. We're discussing drug delivery to the eyes. The ocular drug delivery is normally hampered by barriers protecting the eye, as Dr. Tara explained earlier. And that can be quite a challenge trying to get medications to that particular area of the eye. And if you have a question for us, once again, phone lines are open, 03-77-109,000. And you can text to 016-201-9000. If you'd like to, you know, if you're shy to give us a call, send us a text message. Dr. Tara, earlier on we yes. spoke about topical applications. We spoke about inserts. We
yes.
spoke about oral administration. There's also, of course, contact lenses as delivery vehicles. Is that possible?
Yes. A contact lens actually can hold a lot of things in its structure. It's a water-soluble type of contact lens.
Mm-hmm.
So drugs can be impregnated onto the contact lens.
Like the implant, except
yes.
for the implant is at the back.
And this is in the front.
Yeah.
So this is for anterior segment problems, not for problems at the back of the eye.
Okay.
And drugs that they tried out were glaucoma drugs. So they put it onto the contact lens and you place it on the eye and it does a slow release of the drugs. Now, again, these problems mainly happen in older people. So they may not be suitable to put on, you know, these
right.
contact lenses and take them off and the care and things like that. So, again, this form of drug delivery is present, but it hasn't really taken off very well.
Okay.
People still go back to eye drops for problems in front of the eye.
All right. So it has all got to do with age as well, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Hi, Wong. How are you today?
Good.
You have a question?
Yes, I have a question.
Yep.
I have a retinopathy, and my eye doctor has treated me with injection and laser.
Okay. Wong, can you do me a favor? Can you just turn off your radio? Because there's...
And actually, it has been cured. Now my eyesight is very good. I can see very far. My problem is that once a while, there is one blood vessel that bleeds, that covers the pupil of the eye. Is there any cure for such... What must I do?
If any questions for me?
Yeah. Are you a diabetic?
Yes, I'm driving.
Yeah, so I'm sure your retinopathy was caused by diabetes, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, when you have retinopathy at this stage, the doctor usually will do laser and injection as you have received. And the disease can remain stable. But unfortunately, even though the disease is stable, there are some blood vessels that keep tugging when you move your eye. Okay, so they're not abnormal blood vessels, but they are slightly elevated. And you know, when you have rapid eye movements or you lift something very heavy, this tugging movement can cause these small blood vessels to bleed. And I think that's what you're experiencing. So if the bleed is repeated and you get it very often and it blocks your whole vision, there is actually a role for surgery to remove this abnormal blood vessel and scar tissue that is tugging on your retina and causing these repeated bleeds. But in any case, you'll have to discuss the risks and the benefits with your doctor, because the surgery that I'm talking about is surgery at the back of the eye, mm-hmm. called a vitrectomy, which is done by retinal surgeons. And you need to discuss the risks and benefits if you have these repeated bleeds. So by just taking some medication and things like that, it won't settle the problem. It is because there's some scar tissue that's tugging on the retina causing this bleed.
Thank you very much, Wong. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Sam, how are you today?
Hi, sorry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a slightly odd question.
Okay.
Previously, I used to smoke a lot of cannabis, and I just wondered, why was it that every time I smoked it, my eyes went red? I know it's very completely off-topic, probably, situation, mm-hmm. but it always concerned me. Why did that happen?
Okay,
but did it bother you, Sam, in any way?
It didn't bother me at all. I just know that it's one of the side effects of smoking cannabis, and it's something that I've always found a little bit unusual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for calling.
Nope.
You actually can get dilatation of the blood vessels from different types of drugs. Some drugs actually cause constriction of blood vessels, especially these recreational drugs. And drugs like cannabis actually cause dilatation of the blood vessels. Mm-hmm. So temporarily, the eyes look bloodshot because the blood vessels are dilated.
Okay.
And when the effect wears off, it comes back to normal.
Okay.
So it doesn't affect the vision, but you will see that the eyes look bloodshot.
No long-term vision problems as a result?
Not known from cannabis, but from other recreational drugs, we have seen people who have actually lost their vision.
Okay, all right then. Just to go back to drug delivery to the eyes, of course, injectable systems is something that doesn't sound as pleasant, but
yes.
It may be, you know, the solution to a lot of problems. You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah. Now, over the last 7 to 8 years, we've come up with all these injections into the eye. And that's the best way to deliver a drug to the posterior segment or the back of the eye. The problems with all these drugs are that they just last for a month or at the most 2 months with the latest drugs that are available. So what companies are targeting now are to deliver injectable devices. So they're not implants. You don't need a surgery. You just have to do an injection, and you deliver a drug in the form of a pellet, a biodegradable pellet, that can last up to 6 months. So the longest we've had now is a drug that can last up to 6 months. That's available in Malaysia, and it has been used. It comes in a pellet form. It's a polymer, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and it degrades in the vitreous gel over 6 months. The way that you do the injection is similar to the other drugs that people have been receiving that we've talked about for macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy. But the needle is slightly larger because you have to actually deliver a pellet and not a solution.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yes.
Now that, in comparison to the size of the eye, a pellet sounds huge.
No, it's not huge. You know the needle that people use to take blood?
Yes.
It's that size.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not like a big ball or anything going into the eye. You don't need stitches. You just do the injection. But you need to give a little bit more anesthesia to the eye as compared to the regular injections that we do for macular degeneration.
And always administered by a doctor?
Yes, definitely. There's a special technique to deliver it. We need to go for a training to do this injection because there is a special injectable device. It's not just a syringe and a needle. There's a device where the pellet is loaded in, and there are certain ways to deliver this injection.
Any side effects?
Side effects could be related to the injection itself. Very rare, but something you need to think about is retinal detachment. And, of course, infection in the back of the eye.
Okay, we have a question from Kumar, just to digress again. He says he's allergic to dust and he uses a certain nephazoline drops in case his eyes do, in fact, get affected.
Yes.
It causes temporary stinging.
Yes.
Is it safe for long-term use? And is there any newer drug with maybe lesser side effects?
Okay. This group of drug that Kumar is talking about are antihistamines. Just like you take antihistamines when you have allergic rhinitis or allergy to dust in your skin and things like that. So, but this is in the form of an eye drop. And it does cause a little bit of stinging. That's because of the composition of the drug. There are different drugs, antihistamine groups in the market. There are some that just have to be given once a day. And nephazoline is something that we would use for mild to moderate types of allergy. So if he would like to switch to a different type of drug, there are others available.
But stuff like this is all topical, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay. Our phone lines are open. We're discussing drug delivery to the eyes. Dr. Tara George, retinal specialist in the studio with me. The number is 0377 109000, if you'd like to give us a call. Earlier on, we spoke about polymers, Dr. Tara. And when I saw the word polymer, I always cringe because it's synthetic.
Yes.
It's not natural.
Yes.
And it is used for drug delivery to the eyes. Can you just elaborate a little bit more? Why polymers of all things?
Well, you need to get something in the eye that lasts for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And to last for a long time, it can't be a solution because the solution will just get absorbed into the circulation. So they tried all kinds of different ways to attach a drug to different molecules to deliver it into the eye. And polymers, polyglycolic acid is what they're using now, were found to be safe. They did not trigger any foreign body reaction. And in fact, there's hardly any inflammation when you use this injection. So it is a very safe drug. It has undergone a lot of trials and found to be very safe. So obviously to get there, they would have done a lot of trials, but PGA, or polyglycolic acid, is what this polymer that is used to deliver the steroids into the eye, it's found to be safe. Now, what would be better would be avoiding any form of injection or foreign body into the eye.
Yep.
And that's where research is going on, trying to attach nanoparticles going through the front of the eye to reach right to the back. And to this day, we still don't have success. People have presented many papers on how they've tried to modify drugs, but we still don't have very good results.
Okay, but polymers are removed after a while?
No, they're all biodegradable. Whatever's injected in the eye just absorbs and degrades.
Except for it takes a longer time.
Yes, about 6 months.
Okay. What have been the challenges in this whole process, Dr. Tara, in the whole idea of drug delivery to the eye? Besides, of course, anatomically it's difficult. Physiologically, it is a problem. Any other issues?
The main issue would be the cost of these drugs as well. Because to reach to a level where you have got a drug that can be injected into the eye, all these pharmaceutical companies would have gone through a lot of trials and things like that, which the cost is eventually seen by the patient.
Mm.
So although these drugs are good, they are expensive treatments, and not everyone would be able to use them. That's one thing. So a lot of the times we still have to rely on our old conservative, conventional types of treatment to treat these patients.
Which is?
Which are, as I said, oral medication, though not commonly used. They can be delivered into the eye. We still use injections, but we may not give them as often as needed because we're trying to reduce the treatment burden to the patient. So even though they may need the injections every month, mm-hmm. they may not be able to come back every month. It's not just financial, it's also compliance, getting to the hospital. Someone has to bring you, especially in elderly patients.
Yeah.
So we treat them maybe every 3 months or every 2 months, depending on how often they can make it. And if you have a sustained drug delivery that is affordable, you just have to give it once and it may last for 6 or 7 months and the patients don't have to come back that often. That would be the ideal situation.
Of course.
But of course, we haven't reached that yet.
A long way to go, would you say?
A long way over the next decade, I think we would reach
that's
that.
Not terribly long.
Yes.
Not very long. Patient compliance, as you said earlier.
Yes.
And do you find it's more of a problem amongst the elderly?
The elderly are more motivated, actually, because they are very concerned about their problems. You know, they're at the stage where they want to know how to treat their eyes to the best. You know, they want the best drugs. They want to put their medication in. But there are limitations. They may not be able to instill the drops themselves. Mm-hmm. They may have arthritis and things like that that limit them to putting the drops correctly. So you may need someone to help them put the drops in. The younger patients, on the other hand, they put in their drops for the first few days, and once they get better, they say, that's it, you know, I'm fine. So it's more difficult to convince and motivate the younger patients. The older patients are motivated, but they have physical challenges right. in putting the drops in.
Okay. And what is the downside? What are the downsides of not being compliant as a younger person?
Okay. Depending what your problem is. Now, I'm talking about diseases that run a chronic course. I see a lot of patients with uveitis, as we've mentioned before in previous shows, which is the inflammation of the eye. Mm-hmm. And you have to be compliant with the eye drops or the oral medication that is prescribed, because we are not curing the disease, we're just controlling it. And the moment the medication is stopped, usually within 2 weeks, patients will get a flare-up. And then we go back to square one, you know, from raising the dose again, and that's not what you know, patients want. So the first visit is spent emphasizing on the role of compliance in all these drops, because they feel better and then they stop the medication.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah, I can imagine how difficult that must be, especially when you finish a cataract operation.
Yes.
There's a lot of eye drops and things like that
yes,
to be
yes.
administered. Are there attempts to design non-invasive sustained drug delivery systems to the eye?
Nanotechnology is one of the things that's big now.
How is nanotechnology non-invasive?
Because they're trying to attach molecules onto drugs, and you just deliver it as an eye drop and it should reach the back of the eye.
So no polymers?
No polymers.
No polymers.
Yeah. Okay. Using different peptides and proteins attached to the drug to deliver it to the back of the eye.
Okay. What about nanotechnology is one. Any others? New polymers?
Not really, but more of the drug itself. There are lots of research going on to make a drug last longer in terms of altering the chemical composition of the drug mm-hmm. so that it works longer in the eye. And that's what we see more in macular degeneration drugs now.
Okay. And do you foresee significant improvements in overcoming these challenges posed by the whole idea of drug delivery methods to the eye?
Yeah, I think we will see improvements, because patients will not need treatment as often as they do now. As I said, you're not going to come in the next year or two. It may take a decade before we see it. So people like you and me have a lot to look forward to.
I hope not, Dr. Tara. Your message, what would you like to leave us with the whole drug delivery in the eyes?
Okay. Over the last 10 years, we've seen leaps and bounds in treatment to the eye. The message is that our eye drops are still important. They still have a role. If you prescribe a medication, you need to know what you're given, why you're given it, and be compliant to it. And if you need the more expensive forms of treatment, rest assured, in the future, you may not need these forms of treatment that often. But of course, we have to wait till all these drugs come out.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining me today. Dr. Tara George, retinal specialist on drug delivery to the eyes on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.